Hello, everyone. We are your hosts, Susan, Katie, and Jill. We are longtime educators who are here to share with you all things education. We want to inspire you, help you innovate, dream new visions, and best of all, make you laugh. The education field is not an easy one, but we do it because we love kids and we want the very best for them. Join us as we laugh, learn, and get schooled on KLED & Co. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Get Schooled with Kale Education & Company. Today, I have a good friend with us today. So excited. I'm going to let her introduce herself. Her name is Christy Shin. So some of you out there probably know her. I think you know everybody in Missouri. I'm pretty sure. Like, I feel like you do.
I don't think I know everyone.
I mean, there's a lot of people, though.
I know a couple.
And so I'm going to let you introduce yourself. But before you do that, before we get into the actual show, all of our listeners know we start with like a funny story or something that has happened to us over the years. So you're going to share an education story?
I totally will share an education story.
Let's hear it.
As you know, I am a storyteller. So, the stories that I have to tell. But this one, because I know that our friend Beth Huff was actually just on a podcast not too long ago.
Yes.
So, you know, our good friend Beth said to us, told us that as principals, we needed to tell our own story.
Yes.
And she harnessed Twitter to tell the story.
She does.
But sometimes you mess up and you tell the wrong story.
Right.
So I was a budding principal at an elementary school.
Okay.
And we were trying to rebuild community relationships at said school.
Cool.
So I was working on having a breakfast event for kids, right?
Right.
And that's what we do. We have this breakfast event, and the breakfast event was going very, very well.
Yeah.
And it was during the time when we decided to be more inclusive, right? And so not have muffins for moms or donuts for dads.
Right.
So we instead decided to call it pastries for parents.
Right.
So on said day, we had a giant turnout. I mean, we were like 300 people were having. So here I was taking Beth's advice and telling the story, and I'm tweeting and tweeting and tweeting and taking all these pictures when a friend, actually a friend of ours from Northern Missouri, who, as well was a reading specialist.
Yeah.
She tweeted me back and said, "Christy, you might want to check your spelling." So instead of tweeting about our pastries with parents event, we instead were promoting pasties with parents. So we went from an event, an event with pastries to event. And so again, you can imagine, you can imagine the surprise of the young teachers who went from enjoying pastries with their students to having their students enjoy their pasties. So, I would just tell you, always check your spelling,
Spelling matters. Spelling matters. People like to say, well, you know what I mean? You can't spell check. Well, yes, but you spelled it right.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
It really does matter. You have to reread the things before you send them out into the universe.
It is true. So I did have several likes to pasties with
parents. I'm sure you did.
But instead it was supposed to be pastries. So
note to self, friends.
Note to self.
All right. That's a good one. Okay. So tell us about all that is Christy Shin. Like, what's your background? How'd you get here? And you've recently retired.
I have.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, it's a big thing to make it to retirement. So give us your background and then what you're doing now.
Okay. So I began as a classroom teacher. My friend Jill Brown always says that she believes that I was fake, but I was actually a middle school and high school English teacher. So I began in a very, very, very small district in Northeast Missouri as a middle school and high school English teacher. I was in the classroom for about 7 years when someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "How would you like to try elementary?" And I said, "No, I don't know that I want to do that."
It's a different world.
It totally is a different world.
Yeah.
And my biggest thing was, I was like, I don't want to have to wipe anybody's nose.
Yeah.
But you know, it is
some
true.
Of that.
Sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, when I started into the elementary principalship, I was an elementary principal part-time and part-time teacher, right, and also director of assessment for the district. So you can imagine that was a lot of hats to wear. Right. So I stayed in that small school, learned many, many lessons. Mm-hmm. That was a small school in Bowling Green, Missouri, yeah, outside of St. Louis. I stayed in the principalship for about 15 years. Along that way, I met Jill.
Yeah.
And we did some work at another elementary school where I was principal as well. And then ended up outside of St. Louis and then moved to Columbia. After about 15 years in the principalship, I moved into district office, yeah, as the director of curriculum and instruction, where I landed. And along that journey, I learned many lessons and had wonderful opportunities to connect with people. During my time in the principalship, I was able to do some leadership with the Missouri Association of Elementary School Principals and also the National Association as well. Yeah. So all great things in that 28 years. And I never thought that I could say that I am retired from public education.
Man.
But I am and starting
and here you
a
are.
New chapter.
I know, mm-hmm, which is a really exciting new chapter. And I feel like where your heart is, mm-hmm, like the work that you're doing right now is the work that you've always, mm-hmm, wanted to do in schools and have done. But now you get to completely concentrate in that area.
I've really enjoyed it. You know, one of the things when I went into education is it was always my plan B. I was not going to go to college. I most definitely was not going to be a teacher,
right,
all of that kind of things. And then, you know, people put, transition people in your life,
yes,
and they say, what if yeah, you do this or what if you do that? And, you know, that's really what this is all about. Mm-hmm. And I think the hardest lesson for any educator to learn is that not everybody grew up at your house, mm-hmm, and everybody has a story to tell.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking there's got to be more to school than just learning.
Right.
Because of all these incredible stories. Yeah. And that's really where I landed. Right now I'm working with Franklin Covey as a leader, yes, and me coach. And I had the opportunity to lead a leader in me school. Yeah. But even before that, when I was in Bowling Green and when I was in Louisiana, I kept saying so many things get in the way.
They do.
Of trouble, of kids being able to learn.
Yes.
And you need a system. You need to build a system,
yeah,
where everybody's communicating and empowering the students with their learning.
Yeah.
And so that's what I get to do now. I go, yeah, in and I work with schools, and I say, what if instead of just teaching the kids, you start to talk to them,
yeah,
and you start to engage the entire community? Because education is too dang hard.
It's so hard
to do on your own.
Yeah.
And you know, I was working with a school the other day and I said, you know, I used to go in and as a principal, right, you do teacher evaluations. Mm. And I would always say, why are you learning what you're learning to, yeah, the kids? And they would always say the greatest thing, right?
Yeah.
I love my teacher. My, yeah, teacher is great. And I think that's wonderful when you love your teacher.
Yeah.
But what if you don't?
Right.
And isn't it important that you take charge of your learning at some,
right,
point? Because when you start to turn the page and the kids start to say, this is what I know and this is what I need next, that's when the magic happens.
Yeah. So what, for a teacher who wants to do more relationship building, connecting with students in their classroom, what would be some things they could do?
I think more than anything, you have to create an environment where, mm-hmm, those conversations can take place.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when real learning happens, it's the teacher maybe teaching something, but then being able to say, where are the students within their learning,
right?
Maybe that's a quick check. Maybe that's a check in with them and talk to your partner, right?
Yeah.
But you have to create that environment to where the students feel like they can take risks,
right,
and their voice is empowered. And I think that, you know, everything from, I mean, we've seen the videos on TV, everything from greeting them at the door,
right,
to just asking them about themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I always think that as an elementary teacher, having those class meeting times,
yeah,
is so vitally important. I think some of the most powerful conversations happen during those class meeting times. Yeah. And I can remember, though, somebody saying to me really early on, why do your kids talk to you as a middle school teacher and as a high school teacher? Well, I think it's because I give them opportunities to, whether it's connecting with the literature, connecting with the lesson, or just making a mistake. Mm-hmm. Having those opportunities to where you celebrate that they even tried is so vitally important. Yeah. Because if you don't give them the opportunity to try and fail, then really what are we doing?
Right. So how do we, education is challenging. There's a lot of things that are barriers at the moment. And so when you go into a school and you're concentrating on, you know, social, emotional, and how to get those systems in place, how do you feel, what advice do you give to like balance all the things? So they're trying to do like the data systems, mm-hmm. and they're trying to do the SEL work, and they're trying to, I don't know, 10 million other things, right? Mm-hmm. How does that all coalesce to like really have it all come together? Do you know what I mean? Do you have really good advice for them on how to do all of that?
I always think that, in my opinion, particularly with the work that I'm doing with Leader in mm-hmm. Me, it is the thing.
Yeah.
It is the paradigm mm-hmm. in which you approach everything.
Yeah.
Right? It's the paradigm in which you're providing the opportunities for the students to have leadership within the school. It's the paradigm in which you believe that every student has the ability to learn and has genius.
Right.
And they're setting those academic standards-based goals. Yeah. I mean, it is the paradigm that you're looking through everything with. So I always tell people, I go, it is the thing. It's not one more thing.
Right.
And I think that that's really what you have to really think about.
Yeah.
Because if you can create that framework, mm-hmm. be able to understand that paradigm, mm-hmm. which of course is based in the 7 habits,
right,
then you're not viewing it as one more thing.
Right.
You're viewing it as the plate
right.
of which everything sits on.
Right.
And so when you're doing academic goal setting, you believe that the student can set the goal.
Right.
You believe
the goal.
That the student yeah. is able to change starts with them
yeah.
and that they have the power to influence that goal. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that they can actually reach that goal.
Right.
And, you know, again, I think so many times in society, we have become a society of, we love to blame, right? Mm-hmm. We love to be victims. We love to be able to say, oh, but, you know, Jill, she's a sweet one, but you know, you know about her dad and you know about her mom and you know about her brother. Yes. And you, what I say many times is I said, we love Jill and we love her to low expectations.
Yeah.
And this is where we say, no,
can't do
we're
it.
We're not going to have low mm-hmm. expectations. We are going to recognize that Jill or Christy might have some challenges to overcome, but at the end of the day, we're going to be able to provide them supports that are going to be able to get them over that.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, for me, it was those transition people. I mean, I could wax poetic about all the things that, you know, people said, oh, you know, those aren't funny stories. Those are not so funny stories, you know, where people would say, well, you know, we don't ever think, you know, Christy's going to amount to anything or whatever, you know, because those educators are out there too.
Sure.
But again, can we connect them to the resources they need to be able to help them get to that next great thing that they can do? And that's going to look different. That's going to look different for every single person. But that's why I think the individual goal setting is so important, because your goal might be different than mine, but we both have a goal and we're actually working towards making that happen.
And teachers can start that like very small. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't have to be full blown, like you have student goal setting across every single thing that you're mm-hmm. doing. So like pick one thing. Mm-hmm. And if you have some really great data in reading or in math or in whatever it is, pick one goal and just have the kids start tracking it.
Yeah. And I always tell any school that I've ever worked with, I've told them, I said, you know, when we started this whole process and you were there, I mean, you were on that journey and we messed it up big time. I mean, it was a disaster. And God bless the people that had enough patience with us, mm-hmm. because we decided to goal set everything, right?
It was too much.
I mean, there were jokes about that we were even going to goal set and chart bathroom visits or
right.
whatever.
Right. You can't do it all.
No, you cannot, because the power isn't in the goal setting.
Yes.
The power is in the conversation teaching, about the action plan.
I agree.
And that's where I think people, you know, make the mistake. They right. decide that we're going to have a math goal and we're going to have a reading goal. And we're going to have a leadership goal and we're going to have a behavior goal. And we're going to have this goal and that goal and everything. And you do have superstars. You have superstars that can
For
make
sure.
it all happen.
Right.
But I always think, and this is what I tell the schools, I go, start with one thing, have a collective commitment of your school.
Yep.
Of what that's going to look like
right.
across there.
Right.
Do that well, align it with your overall school goal. Mm-hmm. And if you get real good, you're aligning that with the district goal.
Right.
And then it's just going to start to happen.
Yeah.
And when you start having those conversations with kids and kids start realizing the power that they have in influencing that, that's the magic. I mean, that's where the magic happens. Because they start to, again, realize that they are not victims of an educational system, but instead they're empowered to be able to make a difference with that.
Yeah. So education's changing rapidly. I think it's fair to say that the pandemic really pushed fast forward on some of that. There are different opportunities for teachers. There are different opportunities for families and things are just changing. So what would you say, like in the next 10 years, what do you predict we're going to see?
You know, I don't know. Anytime I work with schools or work with districts, I always say the same thing. We have to change.
Yeah.
We have to change.
Yeah.
And I didn't always say that. I mean, but people are different. Society is different now.
Agree.
And what we have to do, what we have to do to prepare kids is different. I mean, I was the individual who raged against, right? I mean, I raged against the fact that there would be change. Yeah. You know, and when people would say, when you would sit in the conferences and people would say, oh, we are preparing kids for jobs that don't even exist, right?
We've heard that for a long time.
Oh my Lord. I was like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. But then I became a mom of a kid who is doing a thing
that,
in a
that
job
no one that prepared him for. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, while he is wildly successful being a mechatronics engineer, mom doesn't really even know what that is.
Right.
I've listened to his journey.
Yeah.
And that, I think it is true. I mean, we have to work to prepare our kids for the unknown.
Right.
And I think we have to work to prepare those kids for those unknowns, not only educationally, but emotionally.
Right.
Because we are becoming such a disconnected society.
I know. It's kind of scary, right?
It is unbelievably scary.
I know. It is for me too. And, you know, perhaps like, you know, I always say to Susan, like, this is why the older generation retires out, you know, because like the new things happen and it's a lot for us that have been in this for 25 plus years. Mm-hmm. And so to change feels difficult and we know it has to change, but how to change it is hard when you've been doing it for so long. So yeah, but it has to.
Well, but as I said to you, I would never in a million years, you know, thinking 28 years back,
right,
think that I would have to literally teach a language piece to not only the students in my classes, but to the parents as well.
Yeah.
Because they are so disconnected. And it was really interesting. I, you know, years ago I sat in a SLP conference, right? A speech language pathology conference. And there was a researcher there. He actually worked for Tulane University, but was actually doing research in Memphis Public Schools. So Memphis, Tennessee Public Schools. And he made the comment, he said, language is deteriorating at a rate that is, you know, astronomical. And he said, do a study, or he goes, do an experiment this weekend on your way home. And again, this was years ago, years ago. I mean, probably 20 plus years, actually. Right. He goes, when you are coming home this weekend or doing something this weekend, go to a restaurant or go to a grocery store and look around you and see what the people are doing. And it just so happened, we did not live in Columbia at the time, but it just so happened we were coming back through Columbia and we ended up stopping at an Olive Garden. And I was telling my husband and my son at the time about this ridiculous experiment this guy had said to do. And he goes, well, and I said, he told me to look around at what people were doing. Right. And I looked around the restaurant. And again, we were at Olive Garden. Not one family was having a conversation. Mm. Not one.
I know.
Not one.
I know.
And
I know.
I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
And it was true. Everybody was on their phones. Right. Everybody was talking, you know, everybody was looking down.
Right.
And so I started to think about things like the grocery store and all that kind of thing. And this particular professor said he traced it back in his research to two things, right? He said, when we started to see the deterioration of language and conversation, he goes, is when we got indoor air conditioning and when we got automatic garage door openers. He goes, people used to go and sit on their porches and talk.
Right.
He goes, now.
That's a really good point.
You go in.
You go in, close the garage door.
And it's over.
That's so true.
And then I think you started getting cell phones. You started getting all these other things, you know, email.
We just go in ourselves more and more and more. Yeah.
And so honestly, what I really work with a lot in working to, working, whether it's in classrooms or whether it's at the district level, is opportunities to just connect and have conversations because we're losing that at an alarming rate.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, again, I could go on about, you know, everything from increases in violence to et cetera. But I think when you start to disconnect yourself from those situations, and you are an individual that feels powerless.
Right.
That creates the environments of which we live.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's kind of deep.
I'm telling you, we should have had more wine.
We should. Right. I mean, that's so true. And so teaching is hard. Mm-hmm. So if you were giving advice to teachers right now, because I think it's safe to say a lot of them are trying to decide, am I going to stay or am I going to go? Mm-hmm. If you were giving them advice right now on what to do, what would you say?
Twofold. I think number one, I think you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what that looks like because that looks different for a lot of different people.
Yeah.
But you also have to find your tribe.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I mean, I didn't go over every move that I made in education, but I was unbelievably blessed to work with incredible teams.
Yeah.
And those teams looked different.
Yes.
Right? But if it weren't for those individuals, because I said it and I'll say it till, you know, the cows come home, this job is too hard to do on your own.
Yep.
And when I say find your tribe, part of your tribe are those students you teach. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Jill, you've known me long enough because I could talk about the students and how they influenced me, but the lessons that they taught me were so much more than any lessons I learned in the classroom. Right. So, you know, whether that tribe is the teachers you teach with or the teams you teach with, or just your friends,
right,
from your organizations, right, and your professional things, you've got to make those connections, because you're going to have really, really rough,
right,
days.
Right.
You're going to have days where the stories rip your heart out,
yeah,
and that you fail. And it's those people and it's, mm-hmm, that tribe that's going to get you through.
I totally agree. We just said that actually in Beth's, mm-hmm, podcast that we did with her. It's the same. And that was the exact discussion. Like, maybe you're not in the right place. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you no longer want to do what you're doing. It doesn't mean you're not in the right profession. It just means maybe you haven't found the place that you can really thrive yet. And I think it is going to get harder. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's true. It's going to get harder. And, there's just lots of factors out there that are making that the case. And so to surround yourself with people that are going to make you feel like you're making a difference, you're doing this for a good reason, mm-hmm, and that can lift you up. I think if you don't have that, it is going to be very tough.
It is. I mean, yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's not going to get easier. And, no, you know, I mean, we could all sit here and say, well, it'll be easier when.
Mm-mm.
But I also found something that when it gets easier, you get stagnant.
You do.
You're not growing anymore.
Oh, we also said that. Yeah, for
you
sure.
Know, I mean, I never was that teacher. I never, yeah, was that principal, right?
Right, right, right.
That was able to pull out the file from last year. And there for a long time, I was like, oh, wait, I'll be able to use this again.
Yeah.
No, you can't, because your kids are different. Your parents are different. Your school is different.
Everything's different.
You know, everything's different. And,
yeah,
and so you have to find those people that bring you joy.
Yes.
And laugh at yourself and be able to celebrate with you.
Yeah.
And it's all those things. So don't be that person. Now, you might have a little bit more tricks of the trade.
Sure. Sure. But you got to have fun at work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to laugh and you have to share with them,
yeah,
to make it an environment to, yeah, where they'll share with you.
Yes. So last question, leaders, what advice would you give to leaders right now?
Same thing. Find your tribe.
Yeah.
I'm going to say again, and I was very, very lucky, mm-hmm, in the fact that, I had very eclectic leaders,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
who always were challenging me and, yeah, who were always pushing me.
Yeah.
And again, I think a lot of times, especially when you're in a larger school district,
right?
Right.
Right.
When you're in a larger school district, you think, this is my tribe.
Yeah.
There's so many. There's 21 elementaries. And so,
right,
there's 20 principals for me to connect with.
Right.
But don't get stagnant.
Yeah.
Connect with leaders outside.
Yeah,
you know,
I
made fun of Beth and the whole Twitter thing, but you know, whether it's leaders on Twitter,
right,
or whether it's leaders within your state,
yes,
it's being able to pick up the phone and say,
yes,
I've had this situation happen. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Do you just have a moment?
Yeah.
And be that person for somebody else,
yeah,
too. Because it's, yeah, that tribe that's going to get you through.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean,
so true.
Whether it's teachers or whether it's the leaders,
yeah,
it's always those people. It's always those connections.
Right.
Don't close the garage door.
Don't close. There you go. Leave the door open, mm-hmm, grab a seat, mm-hmm, grab a bottle of wine,
mm-hmm,
have a conversation.
Sit on the porch.
Totally agree. So if people wanted to find you to either, to reach out, maybe they want to know more about Leader in Me or some work that you do, how would they find you?
Oh my goodness. I am on Twitter. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter. You can always email me and I'm sure you will put it in the show notes.
Yes. Yes. What's your email?
Christy.shin@franklincovey.com. I'd be happy to kind of walk you through. I'd be happy to connect you.
Yes. She knows everyone. Yeah.
It's really
so true.
You know, I'd be happy to connect you or just have a conversation,
yeah,
because, you know, as I said, leadership is not an area that I ever thought that I was going to go in. But thank goodness I had some incredible people that helped me on my journey and were members of my tribe, including you, Jill.
I love being in your tribe.
That said, what if? And it's those individuals that really helped make a difference for hundreds mm-hmm. of kids in my 28 years.
Agree. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
It was fun.
Oh, absolutely.
I love sitting with my friends and talking education.
Oh, yes.
Nothing that makes me much happier than that.
And always enjoying a glass of wine.
I mean, perhaps. All right. Thanks, listeners. We will see you next time.